Yesterday, while taking a drive to visit my wife's family, I took time to ponder and think about the sermon, to think about the themes of these scriptures, the themes that we are exploring these few weeks as we continue to delve into the scriptures from our I Am experience during Holy Week. Today is the day that we get to the station that talks about Jesus' crucifixion, that talks about what it means to address being crucified in our world. And so as I'm sitting in the car and we are driving back from Salem, I saw a car next to me that had a bumper sticker that read, "Jesus died to save sinners." Bumper sticker theology. How do we react when we see something of that nature? What do we read into those words when we see that bumper sticker? What do we think about the people sitting in that car when we read those words? Being someone who has gone through seminary and has delved into issues of atonement and salvation pretty heavily, cackles on the back of my neck go up when I read bumper sticker theology. Because I think so often we try to oversimplify things. We try to make something down into a boiled statement that is way more complex than we're willing to acknowledge. All right, I'm now going to put on my professorial role. In seminary, we studied heavily about atonement and salvation. We've studied many theories on the different ideas around atonement and salvation. And the two that we seem to most commonly place in the thread of our Christian faith are the ones about substitution and sacrifice. That Jesus died in the place of us to save us. That Jesus was a sacrifice like the Old Testament prophets sacrificing their children or attempting to save them and their people and their crops. And so we wrestled with those ideas and we studied more. And ultimately, I have to say something to you all. I'm a little bit of a heretic when it comes to ideas of salvation and the cross. I had trouble wrestling with these traditional views of the cross and what they said to people who lost children. I had trouble sitting there and understanding the ideas that Jesus would need to substitute himself for us to himself. If we accept Jesus as God, the paradox is very odd to me. And so I wrestled. And I thought, and I prayed, and I read. And I came to a point in which I truly felt the actual saving power of Christ is not at the cross. It's at the resurrection. The cross, to me, is the center of our human sin. The cross is where we as humanity, not just Jews, all of humanity, not just religious leaders, all of humanity, not just the power elite, but all of humanity said, we deny God. We don't need God in our lives. We don't need the power of the Holy One to be present. We can do it on our own. Especially when that God questions the way we look at things, and questions the way we order things, and questions the way we set up our world. We don't need that God. And so the cross is when we as humanity said, we don't want you as part of our lives. We are going to get rid of you. We are going to put you to death. And then, in the anguish of that moment, the mourning that happened, the people that we saw that were followers, the men and women who followed Christ, then saw 3 days later Christ with them again. The power and salvation of Christ is when we are able to acknowledge that even when we deny God and push God out of our lives and don't want to ask the deeper questions about ourselves, God says, I'm going to break through your barriers. I am going to continue to desire a relationship with you. I am going to choose to continue to love you, even in spite of your betrayal. Love conquers all. So friends, what does it look like in our society, in our world, when we look at the saving power of Christ and the resurrection, that the cross is our ultimate betrayal, our denial of God? How does it look in our world today? Not just on a personal level in each of our hearts and beings, but also on a structural level, on a societal level, on a human being level. We have been living as a church, glorifying the days of Jesus' life. Glorifying Jesus' teachings, being part of the life of Christ, and trying to live them out in the world. And have not been able to see that our institution is marching towards Calvary right now. How do we recognize that as a denomination, we are dying? How do we acknowledge that as people of faith, there are less people today who connect to that than there were 50 years ago? How do we acknowledge that what we hold dear to may not be life-giving to others? Those are hard statements for me to say and to hear within my own being. I grew up Presbyterian. I grew up in churches in the Pacific Northwest. And it's hard to hear the institutions that I love maybe dying. And then I think about our society. I think about the hole and the fear that maybe we are losing something that we hold dear within our world on a larger level. certain things that we were taught or understood or carried with us that we thought were infallible, things that we identified within our homes, within our communities, within our governments, that we thought would hold forever, that are crumbling. We are sitting right now at the cross. We are sitting at a place in our world in which we are, in a sense, seeing things that we hold dear being put out and up to die. But friends, as Christians, there is something that we hold to that is deeper, that is more central, that is more in the vein of our faith than the structures and things that we hold dear. And that is the grace of God. And the grace of God that was exemplified in the resurrection. The grace of God that says, even in the midst of death, 3 days later, I will rise and I will bring a new message. And the beauty of that is that Jesus did not appear to the disciples in the way they were expecting. Jesus walked with them along the road to Emmaus. Jesus appeared to them when they were praying together behind closed doors and with closed windows. Jesus came to them and talked to them and engaged in their questions and let them touch him and experience him. But he didn't do it in the ways they were expecting. So friends, I will say this, the resurrection is among us. It is here already. God is showing it and shining a light on it and expressing it to us. The question is, can we see that resurrection? Because it may be really difficult, because it is very different than what we are used to. It doesn't look like what we know. The power of the resurrection, the power of Jesus' saving life, is in the ability to be born again. Do we have within us the ability to trust the unknown of Jesus' resurrection? To not fear the unknown, but to be excited about it. To jump into it and say, God, guide me. Help me to see the new life that is being expressed in the world. Where is the next generation being pulled in the church? Where does the next generation see life in the church? Where do groups that may be different than ours see life in the church? Friends, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to stand like those followers of Christ at the death, who stood off watching everything, observing. Or we can be like Christ and appear in new and different ways. To come into circles of people who may look and be different than we expect. And to see the blossoming of a flower and the new ideas and actions of others. Friends, God calls us. Calls us to be a resurrection people. Calls us to recognize the cross in our midst and to call for the power of new life. Amen.